This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
The English word bond, an agreement with legal force to pay an investor, as in fixed income investments, or bond when you pay bail to be out on bond. We look at both this morning. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The Dow's above 26,000. The S&P 500 is up 4.7% year to date, and we haven't finished the third week of January yet. But a huge part of investment portfolios are bonds, and a lack of enthusiasm for older, lower interest rate bonds is pushing yields up to their highest point in years, 2.64% for the yield on the 10-year note at the moment, the highest since the spring of 2014. Let's bring in Christopher Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Morning, Chris.
Good morning, David.
The spring of 2014, you could have waited for your college acceptance letter, gone to college, freshman, sophomore, junior year, you're in your second semester of senior year, and you would not have seen a 10-year yield this high. I know in the grand scheme of things it's not all that high, but it's clear that interest rates have turned.
That's right. And, you know, interest rates are turning higher after grinding down for most of the last 10 years. So it's the first time we've seen rising interest rates in a while.
And here, let's work together on coming up with a list of why interest rates would be trending higher. I'll start. It's what the Fed is trying to engineer. That's what they want. So there's that, but also the economy.
Yeah, it is the economy. And I think that's most of it. Long-term interest rates are primarily market-driven. They have been falling because expectations of inflation have increasingly been, it's really low and it's going to be really low forever. And those inflation expectations have shifted. In the bond market, what's priced in was well below 2% for the next 10 years. And for the first time since 2014, it's back up above 2%. And that's because we've got an economy that's growing at a pretty healthy clip, and we just cut taxes pretty significantly. On top of that, and people are just starting to price in the possibility that we could have some really significant economic growth this year.
And luckily for investors in the bond market, the government doesn't turn off its 10-year treasury when the government partially shuts down, as it may overnight tonight.
You know, that's another thing I think that is perhaps weighing on markets, although maybe less bonds than stocks today. But for the first time, we've had these shutdown scares a couple of times in the last 6 months. But this is the first one that we're taking a little more seriously because the players on both sides are further apart than they have been, believe it or not, since this conversation began.
Always good to talk to Christopher Lowe, the chief economist at FTN Financial. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
When someone is arrested, having a few hundred dollars in a bank account can mean the difference between sleeping at home or spending time in jail. But many who are arrested don't have a few hundred dollars sitting around, so a national organization is aiming to raise millions of dollars to bail people out so they can carry on with their responsibilities, including work or the minding of children. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum has this report.
Jasmine Borden was arrested in May 2017 and charged with leaving the scene of an accident in child endangerment. She's still awaiting trial in the case, but spent a little more than 2 months in a St. Louis jail. Borden said she didn't have money available for bail until several community groups raised $500 for her.
I became unemployed. I became homeless. My children were sent to with my family so that they could watch them while I was incarcerated.
Officials at the Bail Project want to help others avoid Borden's predicament. The group is planning to pay bail for 160,000 people over the next 5 years. The Bail Project's Thomas Harvey says his group has more than $30 million in pledged donations, which could help a lot of people.
If it's someone who hadn't committed the crime, getting them out not only is the difference between losing housing, jobs, connections of family, it's also probably the difference between pleading guilty or not.
To prove that type of argument, Harvey says his group will be collecting data about the people they get out of jail. And he's hoping that his group's work provides momentum to activists seeking to do away with bail altogether. But law enforcement officials contend bail is necessary for people who are flight or safety risks. St. Louis County Prosecutor Bob McCullough.
And the whole idea of a bond is two things. One is to ensure appearance in court, and the other is to protect the public.
Those who argue for getting rid of bail say judges could still hold people in jail without bond. Prosecutors, though, would have to work harder to prove that defendants are dangerous or may not show up in court. Cities like St. Louis, Chicago, and New Orleans are already releasing people accused of lesser crimes before trial. St. Louis activist Kayla Reed says that's good for marginalized communities.
And it is just a large economic burden, and that burden tends to fall on poor and Black people.
The Bail Project is planning to start paying bonds to keep people out of jail in three places: St. Louis, Tulsa, and the Bronx. In St. Louis, I'm Jason Rosenbaum for Marketplace.
Some, but not all, companies have started spreading around their anticipated windfalls from the tax overhaul. Stock buybacks and dividends are big. Some capital expenditures, economists hope. But there have been employee bonuses thrown in. Apple's giving $2,500 to its employees. Now the Wall Street Journal's reporting some companies are giving a different perk to employees with the windfall: bigger contributions to tax-protected 401k retirement plans. For some, it'll be a one-time contribution. Others are boosting the routine company contributions. Visa is doing this. The used car chain AutoNation will match half of an employee's contribution up to 4% of the gross pay. The old limit was 2%. In the competition for employees in this tighter job market, retirement contributions have generally been going up, according to numbers collated by Vanguard. Many companies, however, have no retirement plans. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.